Hey, Sister Amen.
Uh-huh.
What did we do today?
We went... Oh, and we preached the gospel. you took me by surprise here.
We had a busy, busy day today. It was awesome, awesome. We hope you're all doing well, first of all. It is time for our edification audio, and so we hope to edify you. We went and preached kind of two different places today. It was kind of a twofer. What was the first one, Sister Amen? What did we decide to go do?
They're having a trick-or-treat thing going on in the downtown area where people walk up one sidewalk, down the other, and they get their candies. And so we preach the gospel. And
We preach in a downtown area right by the state capitol. And we'll talk about that first, and we'll tell you we went down the street to the second part of this preach. Mm-hmm. But what did we see, Sister Amen? The first minute and a half we were out, just preaching Jesus Christ, the gospel, on the sidewalk. What happened?
Well, there was a big, scary, bloody-looking monster thing that was like...
A werewolf with blood and guts hanging out and
really
big,
creepy, hairy
fingers. And he was roaring and trying to scare little children that were laughing at him.
Yeah. And this woman come walking by, and I held out a gospel card. She ripped it out of my hand, and I thought, oh, this ain't good. She walked right by me and went up to Brother Tupos and said, you're scaring the children.
I'm scaring the children with the gospel.
Here, we're out sharing the truth of God's word.
A minute and a half.
She says, that scares the children. I said, look at that guy over there. There's a monster over there scaring people, and you're saying the word of God is scaring people?
People dressed like devils, witches, guys walking around with severed heads, bloody knives, executioners walking around, kids with masks and blood dripping off of it.
Oh, really horrid-looking ones.
Horrid-looking.
You know, it's a whole lot worse
and we were scaring people. So, yeah, we get that. It's common. We hear that a lot, but no, it's not scary to go and preach the gospel. So yeah, we walked up and down the sidewalk, and I can't say I had any good conversations, though the gospel went out. A couple of church people got rebuked. One man told me, we're supposed to be like the world, and then he took it back and said, oh no, I guess we're not really. And people were angry that we were there ruining the kids' fun. One man told us, you're disrespecting the children.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? Women and children rule over you. Isaiah 3:12.
Yeah.
The women and children rule over you. The preacher of righteousness is supposed to consider the children more than the truth of God and the crucified Savior.
Right.
And it went really well. We walked up and down the sidewalk. Did you have any good conversations in that preach, Sister Amen?
I did. I was engaging a lot of people, especially the shop owners or workers or whatever. They were sitting outside offering candy, and I would talk to them on the way by. And one young woman, she seemed kind of interested, and I talked to her and gave her some warnings. I didn't stay around too long because there was more people coming. And then there was another young woman. She was dressed up. I'm going to guess maybe early teens, way early teens. She was dressed up, and she actually wanted a gospel card, and she had that look on her face like, what's this all about? So I was able to stand there for several minutes, give her a lot of information. She had a cross on necklace or something, so showed that she has some kind of something or other faith going on. Well, she was really appreciative. She said, God bless you. Thank you so much. And later, as we made another round, she walked by with her friend. And so I gave her friend a gospel card, and she thanked me for giving it to her. And she said she appreciated once again all the info I gave her, and she was going to check it all out. So maybe a young soul might have been helped out of all that up there.
Yeah, a lot of the churchianity people, they aren't even told how that's a cult. It's wicked. It's of Satan. It's of the dark. It's of evil. They're not told that the Bible says, avoid all appearance of evil, 1 Thess 5. And so they may be sinning and not even knowing it. And when they hear someone calling out, they're like, what's wrong? This is just fun, isn't it? And you're like, oh no, you're not supposed to dabble with sin and evil and wickedness in Satan's kingdom.
Right, and I even went deeper than that. I went into about the churches lying to them and to test all things.
About the only thing that didn't show up in this preach was the police today.
They drove by a couple times.
But they saw that we were totally peaceful. I didn't even have my amp on. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that preach went very good. And it's already posted. We got that one done. It's called High Street Trick or Treat. It's up on the witnessing section. There'll probably be a link to it at the top of this edification post. We'll put that up.
Yeah, we still have to label the video.
Yeah, well,
right,
we'll get to that.
There,
yeah. So it was a good preach. And then what did we do when that preach was done? We walked down the street, and guess what was going on? the Governor Parsons of Missouri, at his mansion, which is down the road, just down the road from the Capitol building, was putting on a trick-or-treat party. And they had the yard all decorated with ghouls and witches and scarecrows, and they had a band playing and music and candy, and everybody lined up along the fence, and we got to wait with them, and I preached the gospel up and down the street, and a couple of really good things happened. First, let's tell you about probably the best thing that happened. Sister Raman, the lady you witnessed to that first was mad and then came back, what happened?
Which one was that? Oh, that was toward the end of it. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the other ones. This Brother Two Post was standing over by the entryway where they were all going in, and I was walking up and down the lines preaching the gospel and warning people about man-made religion, and I was telling them that they're just what we know. It'd be better to have a millstone around your neck than to deceive a little one. And a woman walked by with a little girl, and she said something about she liked my sign, but she wasn't sure about what I was saying. And I said, why are you here? And I looked at her little girl, and she said, we're not dressed up for Halloween. This is a harvest fest. And I said, ma'am, you need to test yourself. And I kind of engaged her a little bit as she was walking away. She wasn't very happy. Well, she came back, and she seemed a little agitated in a different way. And she said, I had to tell you that you convicted me. I'm taking my daughter. My husband and I are leaving. We thought this was a harvest festival. This is way more than that. And she told me she went to one of the churches there. I encouraged her that she had to go a lot deeper than just that. And we talked for a couple minutes, and so hopefully seeds were planted, and she took off.
Yep.
She was...
Praise God.
Yeah, she was pretty irritated with
hopefully
that.
Hopefully heard her husband go a lot deeper. Yeah, a lot of people think Harvest Fest, so no devilish costumes, and it's all innocent. They show up there, and they see everybody doing all these ghoulish things, and they go, wait a minute, this is Halloween.
Yeah.
These churches and these events trick people. Oh, it's just a harvest fest. And it really is Samhain. It's Halloween. It's this wicked event that people come together, and they say that the underworlds all collide on this day and this evening and all this type of stuff. So it's all wickedness.
Yeah, so that's rejoicing.
That was awesome. Good job.
For that. Yeah.
Good job, Sister Raman. So then I got to preach up and down the line, and this is awesome. So they got FBI agents there protecting the governor, and the one guy standing right by the gate, and I got to kind of witness to him. And then guess what? I asked him, I said, hey, will you tell Governor Parsons to come out and bring his Bible? I want to talk to him and ask him why he can be in the government and be of the world, and he claims to be of Christ. And you know what he said to me, Sister Raman? I didn't even tell you this. He looked at me and he said, that's not going to happen. Well, guess what? The FBI man was wrong. The FBI doesn't always know the truth. Governor Parsons came out and was walking along the fence talking to people waiting in line. And guess who got to walk up to him and ask him a question?
Probably you. I know it was
I walked right up and I said, hey, Governor Parsons, sir. I treated him with respect. I said, can you tell me, would you get your Bible right in front of all these people? Can you tell me how you can be of the world and still be of God? James 4:4 says you'll be an enemy of God if you're a part of the world. And he looked right at me and he said, I read my Bible every day. I don't know what you're doing here, sir, but I'm just going to ignore you. And he turned around and he walked away. And I basically was nice. I still said, sir, I love you. Why are you not following the commands of God? Why are you following the world? You're deceiving yourself, deceiving others. I said, this event is going to put a millstone around your neck as you deceive children to dabble in evil ways. Well, it didn't end there. It was awesome. He walked back, and right by the gate where everybody had to go in, the governor standing there doing a meet and greet. I'm like 6 or 8 feet from the governor standing on the sidewalk. The police are there. The FBI agents are there between me and them, and they're, of course, protecting him. And, of course, they saw I was no threat. And I started witnessing to the police officer. And I got to witness to and talk to the FBI agent who took a gospel card from me. And I said, sir, how come I can't go into the mansion? He goes, you're kind of protesting. We can't let you in there. And I said, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I said, goblins, ghouls, vampires, guys with bloody heads and knives and all that stuff get to go in there, but not the street preacher of righteousness. And the FBI agent says to me, I know what you're saying, but I can't let you go in there. And I said, I don't want to go in there. I said, I just wanted to get that on video. I witnessed to the young cop who kept saying, I love you, man. I said, I love you too. You're wasting your life. I said, if you're not born of Christ and coming out of the world, you're going to lose your soul. Before the event was over, I said, officer, I stuck my hand through the fence. He came over. He took the gospel card. I said, test yourself. We care for your soul. He said, thank you, preacher. And he took the gospel card. So it was awesome. I got to preach to all these people, including the governor. His wife walked right by me, and I got to preach. It's not enough to read the Bible. You got to obey it, come out of the world. Thousands of people there. I think they said 6,000 to 10,000 people show up.
Oh, it was incredible how many people.
It was incredible. One guy got mad at me and said he was going to punch my lights out. And then he called the cops on me, but the cops came, drove by, and said, preacher's fine. He's not doing anything illegal. So that all worked out good. And maybe the culmination of the day, as we witnessed and witnessed and witnessed all these people handing out gospel cards, talking to people. Who did you meet, Sister Amin? This is incredible.
Oh, I know. This is really interesting. So I'm down on the corner as people are coming in from all different directions, heading down by Brother Two Post, and I'm preaching to everybody going by, and all of a sudden I see this woman. I'm calling people out of the world, and I look at her, and I could just barely see inside her coat, which had a big fuzzy hood.
It was cold out today.
Yeah, and I said, Cindy, you're Cindy, right? And she pulled her coat back so I could see. Had to be the Holy Spirit letting me see or understand, because I couldn't see her face very good.
Yeah.
Cindy Smock is an unbiblical street preacher who does wicked, vile things on the
college campuses.
And so I was calling her out. I only got her on a few seconds on video leaving.
Yeah, let me just frame it for you. This is a wicked woman that goes on the college campuses, preaches a false gospel, yells out all kinds of sexual things.
Yep.
They will come and have tampons hanging on a wooden stick full of blood. These are wicked, wicked street preachers. Her husband, Jed, died. God killed him a few months ago, or maybe, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago. He died, and so we saw her, and we said, we got a testing on you. You're unbiblical. And Sister Amin called her out.
Yeah, I told her. I said, we even tried reaching out to you. You never answered back. And I said she needed to repent, and she never said a word. She just smiled, was walking away, and I was telling her, I said, you're not of righteousness. I said, you preach an unbiblical gospel, and I said, hey, since you, if you're claiming to be a child of God, you should want to talk about the things of God. And she turned around,
and walked
pulled
away.
Her hood off, and showed me her little stocking cap that says, ho no more.
That's what they preach on college campuses. They tell the girls, don't be a ho no more. And all they talk about is lesbianism, sodomy, and wicked sexual things. And they don't even preach the gospel. They're a vile, vile people.
Yeah.
And so, what did she do? She walked past you. I got it on video. You could see it on the testing when we post it. She walks down in the line with her grandchildren that are there for the Halloween event. And she's standing in line, and all of a sudden I start walking the line, and I'm just preaching. She turns around and takes off. I wasn't following her. And I said, there goes Cindy Smock, a feminist, heretical, college campus, false teacher. And a woman walks up to me and says, don't harass my mother. And I got her on video, rather immodest woman in a costume. She says, don't harass my mother. I said, I'm not harassing anybody, ma'am. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm making public videos. I have every right. She goes, oh, you do. But she goes, this is a family event. Don't bother my mother. I said, I'm not bothering anybody. Anybody, ma'am. I'm going to go back to preaching the gospel. Her daughter was there with her grandchildren. These are the wicked people. You wonder why we stand against these false teachers. She's going out telling people to repent. She doesn't even preach the biblical gospel. She's vile and corrupt. And she's at a Halloween event with her grandchildren.
Yep. And speaking of grandchildren, after she left, it was a little while later, another woman walked by. I didn't know who she was. Little boy in a cow costume, black and white cow costume. He goes walking by. I was preaching to them on the way by. He stops, comes running back, and gets a gospel card from me. And I said, love Jesus with all your heart, or something like that. And he said, all your soul and all your might and all your strength, or something like that. Yeah. I have a little audio of it. I didn't even know my audio was running. And it was so cute. And then I walked down by Brother Two Posts again. And I walked down the line, and I saw that little boy standing right next to Cindy with his mom. It was her grandson that came to get
her
a gospel
grandson.
Card. So praise God. I hope he reads it.
My heart was kind of broken today because I see all these parents dabbling with their kids in evil. and I see these little 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids dressed up like wicked things, some just dressed up like little animals. And you know what always amazes me? The parents are avoiding us. The parents are hating us. The parents don't want to hear it. But these little kids look at us and they watch me. They smile and they look at me like they're wondering what I'm saying and they're listening. And the parents grab them and go, come on, Johnny. And they pull them. Today, you want to hear the low of low and the epitome of darkness? There was a little boy dressed up like a wicked-looking Satan. Literally Satan. And he walked by me as I was preaching, and I wasn't focused on him. And his mother put her hands on his ears like, don't listen to the preacher, to usher him by. And I told my brothers, I said, does it get any lower than that? You dress your child up like Satan and block his ears so they can't hear the preacher of righteousness. And my brother said, I don't want to be her on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
How big is the millstone going to be on her neck?
Oh, worse than that.
Yeah, for deceiving there, the little ones.
There was a lot of young girls, maybe 10, 11, 12, yeah. maybe 8 or 9. I don't know. It's really hard to tell. A lot of them were slowing down and listening, so I would change what I was saying so it would fit them more. And then at one point, a whole family went by, and I was preaching to them as they went by. The mom kind of was listening. Dad didn't want nothing to do with it, and the little boy straggling behind, he said, can I have one of them, a gospel card? And I had my hand out. And he looked at his dad, he looked at me, he looked at his dad and said, Dad, can I have one? He said, no. And he took off. If he would have just grabbed one ahead, but Dad probably would have thrown it away. And I thought, wow, you're going to be in trouble. And I pray those people repent. And we know hardly any are going to have ears to hear. And that's what I was preaching. Narrow is the way. Few are going to find it.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see Satan's kingdom at work. And of this time of year, everybody goes and dabbles with death. But guess what they don't want to hear about the second death, the judgment in hell. Uh-uh. So we preach today about Christ. We warn them about God's wrath. It was awesome. We got to preach to the governor. I got to preach to FBI agents. Sister Amon preached to all kinds of people, that false lady, street evangelist. And when we're leaving, I got a video. Oh, go ahead.
Because I have a little more before we left.
Yeah.
When we were up on the High Street, it was called High Street there, where they're doing the trick-or-treating, there was this one woman, she kept saying, amen, amen, when she was coming by me. So I was calling her out of the world, like, what are you doing here? And I kind of preached to her as she's going by, and she kept going. Then we were moving. She came by again, and I switched what I was saying to call out something different so she didn't hear what I already heard. And it kind of irritated her, and she said something about, I'm not of the world. And then one more time she came by, and she said, she had one little boy with her. She said, he's homeless. What are you supposed to do about the homeless people? He's just trying to get some candy so he has some food to eat. I said, ma'am, we're happy to feed people. If you need some food, let us know.
Yeah.
She walked off, and the little boy was laughing.
Yeah.
Well, she caught me down at the governor's place, and she got in my face, and she said, you shouldn't be getting up in people's faces. And I was like, I was standing here.
Yeah, I got you on video. She walked up to you.
I said, yeah, you're getting in my face. And she just did the same thing everybody else does, trying to get you to be quiet and do it different. And her and I went back and forth a few times, and I tried to preach the gospel to her, and eventually I just kind
of
turned.
They accuse us of what they do. They get in our face, and they accuse us of it.
Yeah.
They're evil and wicked, and they accuse us of it. Hey, exactly what they did to our master.
Oh, I know, But before all that, or in between it all, there was an older woman who, she gave me a thumbs up. I have a video of it because I was preaching to a bunch of people going by. She gave me a thumbs up. I said, hey, thumbs up, I love it. Why don't you come over here and talk about the things of God? Well, I recognized that because I looked at the video. She ended up coming up to me later, and her and I had a conversation. She took the gospel card, said that she's going to think about it. She did kind of push back at first, but she said I gave her things to think about.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, so after I talked to Parsons, the governor, I was watching him, and he's up there man-pleasing and shaking everybody's hand and standing with all the Halloween characters. And I thought, oh, no time for the word of God. I get it. So then he did a TV interview with a camera lady. And guess what? As we're leaving, who walked out with us, Sister Amon?
Yep.
The camera lady. And I said, ma'am, we're not looking for publicity, but I said, can I warn you about something? She goes, what's that? She was with some TV station. I said, I'm going to put it up on my website, don'tperish.com. We gave her a gospel card. I said, that governor, this city, this state, America, is set for the wrath of God. Because I said, this is evil and wickedness. And I said, Jesus didn't die so that people could be doing this wickedness. And she said, I understand. I said, go check that website out. It would bless you. And she said, I will. I'll check it out. She took the gospel card. So we got to talk to the news reporter lady. And I was preaching while we were there right by the gate. I thought it was pretty awesome. I said, let me get this straight. The world's going to hell. Israel's in war. America's got warships in the Middle East. The economy is in a mess. The culture is paganized, feminized, sodomized, materialized, all these things. And the government is wasting their money putting on occult parties for children.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
And everybody just kind of looked at me. And one guy kind of shook his head like, yeah, that is kind of crazy. That they're focused on the foolishness as the world is on fire. And Satan's Antichrist system is growing.
Yeah, it makes you think of eating and drinking and marrying.
When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. So, yeah, it was a glorious day. I'm so thankful we got to be out there. The weather held. Not long after we left, pouring rain.
Oh, I know. It was really, it was super cold. I had two skirts on
It was cold.
Underclothes.
I could not believe there was that many people out in this cold. It was 40 degrees and bone-chilling wind.
Yeah, because it's damp out.
Because it was damp out.
Colder, yeah.
And I couldn't believe how many people were out and how many gospel cards went out. And people just got to, people got to hear the gospel preached and proclaimed. A lot of people standing by listening. And yeah, so we're going to have that testing, or excuse me, that preach will be up tomorrow, good Lord willing. We'll get that one up. And every time we get to do this, what do you think of, Sister Amen?
To God be the glory is the first thing that comes to my mind. And I'm thankful to be able to do it. I hope a sheep heard something, but I know most often it's going to be to people's condemnation. Yeah. But that's God's glory, too.
Away from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity.
I know, I preach about that
today. And yeah, I always think about the redemptive part we get to play in all of this, and that Christ is so merciful and long-suffering that he lets people hear the truth. And a young brother today, at the end of the day, we met two our brothers, and we were in a marketplace, and we were all working online. And a young brother said, he leaned back, and he said, it's amazing to me, because Sister Amen was talking about how glad she was that we met him out street preaching, and he heard the call. His name's Akuo. That means a hearer of the Word of God. And he heard the call, and he said, it's amazing to me how God sets things up. He said, in my life, for me to be where I am today, he lives with another godly brother. Now the roommates are helping each other. He's striving in the things of God. He dropped his nets. He's left everything in his life, his career, his family, that was damning his soul. And he said, it's amazing what God has done for me. And I said, brother, I said, look at all the people we get to preach to. I said, you're a miracle. I said, look at all the miracles that could happen if people would listen and have ears to hear. And he said, yeah, I never thought about that. They're stealing God's glory because they won't respond rightly to the gospel being proclaimed.
Yeah, and they're all standing right in the same spot.
Yeah.
And then most of them refuse it.
Yeah, but praise God, that young man heard, sitting next to a brother that heard. And we are just joyous and thankful for all of that that's going on in our lives. And we get to partake in it and see these people rise up for the kingdom of God. It's just a joyous thing.
It is, and we keep pressing on for the glory of God. Maybe there'll be another one out
there. Amen, amen.
That we run into.
Anything else about today, Sister Amen? Good news, of we don't have to say the details, but a sister overcame and passed something she needed to do.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about it yesterday.
Okay.
She had to work hard at it. And,
but she passed today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you know what that means? That's just one less earthly thing she has to focus on and can reset her mind on other things. You know, like we talked about, giving to Caesar. What is Caesar's?
Yep.
Just the things you have to do in this earthly life sometimes take up a little bit of time that you got to get by.
Yep.
And there's always going to be one thing or another.
Oh, yeah.
But we're just rejoicing for. So.
And another sister found out her date to travel to go back to her ministry.
Yep.
Where God's called her and she has work to do. So we're joyous about that. Things didn't work out the way everybody thought, but God's sending her somewhere to go finish out her ministry, and who knows where she'll be after that.
We don't know where any of us are going to be, and so we live today, and we just be available for the works of the Lord tomorrow, because we're not our own. This isn't our life. We're bought with a price, and it really doesn't matter what we do, where we do it, as long as we have that hope that's set before us, and we're striving for it, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. And when we were working online with these two young brothers, they're together jointly. It's pretty heartwarming to see this. They're jointly working on a teaching on biblical love. And the brother is making a chart, and it's really neat. He's showing love in the middle, and then all around the outside, kind of like a wheel with spokes, and he's showing all the different types of love along the outside, and verses that all correlate together. And I can't wait to see it when it all comes together.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
But it's good to see two young men building their foundation and enjoying company together, and then we get together with them. And I don't know, it's just a heartwarming thing to see two young men drawing close to the things of God when you see all these other people out doing wickedness.
Oh, I know.
And fleshly carnal ways. And I see the work in these young men's lives, and it's glorious.
It is. Yeah. It's awesome. Praise God.
And then tonight we were talking online, going back and forth. I won't go into the details of this, but we were talking about that leaders and teachers have a higher calling on their life, don't they, Sister Amin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, James says, be careful not be many, not masters, because you're going to have a greater judgment. And we were talking about how leaders, teachers have to be more transparent. They have to lead in accountability. 1 Timothy 3 says their house has to be in order. Titus 1 talks about that they have to be blameless. And so we were talking about how if a man decides to wants to be a teacher, that his life has to be more open and his family life has to be open for inspection, because that's one of the requirements, that your house be in order. If a man wants to teach and he doesn't let people see his house, what does that say, Sister Amin?
Well, it's going to make questions come up in people's minds.
He's hiding something, they're going to say. Why can't we see his family? Why can't we see his family in order? That's part of the requirements.
Yeah.
And so it's important if a man wants to teach online and rebuke online, that he allows his life to be open to inspection so he can walk blameless. And that's kind of what we're going back and forth about and learning and deciphering all that.
Yeah, and that's something you and I did, like, right away in the beginning, was share who we are, what we were learning, what we were going through. And the reason we did that is because we're the kind of people that if we're going to test somebody else out, we want to see all of it, you know, the whole well-rounded thing on it. So we have no problem doing that.
Yeah, we wanted people to have trust in who we were. And other than our bank account, how much is in there, and our social security numbers, we're pretty much an open book.
Yeah, people even know how much I spend on groceries.
Yeah, I mean, we tell people about what we do in van life.
I don't care.
We talk to them about, you know, how we do intricacies of life other than personal private things. We believe in sharing because we want people to see us as real people. We want people to see that we're open, we're approachable, we're accountable, we're testable. And if we take a certain part of our life and don't show it to people, people are going to go, I don't know if they're real because they're hiding that part of their life. Maybe they're fakes and phonies. You know why this is important? Because so many people are fakes and phonies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The churchianity people and all the false teachers.
Yeah, and I was thinking about we've known people and gotten emails from people that have thanked us for doing that and sharing that, because my life as a godly woman, I'm just going to talk about the women anyway that I've known. As a godly woman, exposing everything online, it kind of helps women learn how to strip their lives down, use the resources frugally, you know, learn how to discern all types of things in the life of a godly woman. And by me doing this and showing my whole life and being transparent, it's helped a lot of women strip their lives down so they can get rid of some distractions and focus more on the kingdom of God. And it reveals areas where they need work and where where they're excelling.
We've had many people tell us that our openness in van life has showed them that, you can and should strip down your flesh. And even though they're not in van life, they see that they could live a lot simpler, less complicated life for the glory of God.
Oh,
and if we don't show people our van life, they're not going to see that.
Yeah, many people have been convicted about how much they spend, how they live, how much time they waste maintaining all their other things they have there.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have the big yard, so now you got to get a lawnmower and you're tired of it, so you got to get a bigger lawnmower.
Yeah,
and all these kinds of things that help people break that, what do you want to call that? That pattern in that mindset that Americans have that, you know, the big house.
You're like
the
a car, cog in the
this,
wheels
the that.
Of the system. They enslave you. 40, 50-hour week job, big mortgage, work until you're 65, retire, and you might live 10 years and you die.
Yeah, and so what that does is help show people, break the mold, and it also helps people, whether it's a husband with a wife that's kind of lagging or a wife with a husband kind of lagging, it shows many different things can be done. If they're both striving for the kingdom of God, we can be an encouragement, all different ages who are doing different things and exposing everything about their lives.
Yep.
It can really be an encouragement for other people, and hopefully that will help.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very important that a leader teacher be transparent in biblical areas of his life. We're not talking about people expose their private personal life of things that shouldn't be exposed. We're talking about in areas that are biblical. If you have children, your home life, your marriage, even they could talk about finances. They don't have to give their exact finances, but talk about how they live frugal. Every area of life that should have the biblical magnifying glass on it should be shown and talked about so that people go, oh, he teaches about that. He must have accountability about that. We know what he feels about that. He's obviously not a hypocrite in that. And those get that gives people reason to trust your teaching because you appear blameless.
Yeah, and here's one thing. This is a good reason why, just one of the many good reasons. When you're on the street and you're witnessing to somebody, and if they don't like the truth, they oftentimes say, what? So you're telling me you're perfect, you don't sin?
Yeah.
Well, if your life is exposed already, they can clearly see a lot of it, and they can look at it and go, oh, okay, they are who they say they are.
Right, yeah, we try to show that we're not hypocrites in that way, So.
Right.
So, yeah, we talked about that topic, and glorious day. And then as we were working online in the marketplace, it poured like crazy. We're supposed to have really cold and possibly some ice tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be a hunker down day.
Ooh, it's going to be chill.
Big hunker down day. So we won't be standing out of church or nothing tomorrow on Sunday. It's going to be a hunker down day. And we might meet up with the brothers again in another marketplace and just kind of have fellowship together.
We got that post to do.
We got that post to get up.
That'd be a big one.
I got some teaching going to get done. Sister Amma, do you have a scripture to share today?
I do.
You always have scripture to share.
Mm-hmm. I have 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you.
Be perfect. Look at that. Oh, are you perfect? Actually, the Bible calls us to be complete and mature. That's what that means. Over 25 times in the New Testament.
Well, it's something we should probably do then.
Amen. It's something that we should strive for. And that's part of the sanctification process. And the Word and the Spirit and the brethren help us all get it done.
Amen.
Amen.
I love that.
Yeah. I want to share talking about evil and darkness. Everybody was enamored with death today. There's executioners walking around. There's bloody things, bloody creatures walking around. There's zombies walking around. Everybody's enamored with death. Really? They don't want to hear about biblical death. Let me talk about this. Revelation 19:17-20. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet that wrought miracles with him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. And all and both these both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That is the second death that we are warning about. And brothers and I always talk about this. The culture, because of Hollywood, video games, all kinds of movies, corrupt holidays, they're enamored with death, but they never want to talk about the biblical second death that's coming, judgment and hell that Jesus warned about. In that, they're hypocrites. In that, they're fools, because they're dabbling with evil and not knowing or not facing the fact that they're going to answer to a holy God one day. But you know what, Sister Amma? All those thousands of people that we saw, I'm going to sleep really good tonight. My hands and your hands are clean of their blood because we gave them the truth. We gave them a resource. We gave them our email. We gave them our website with thousands of resources. We are there for them if they want to repent and need help. Our hands are clean on this day.
Ezekiel 33, yeah.
And Paul said, I did not keep from preaching the entire counsel of God to you.
Right, and woe to us if we don't preach the gospel.
Amen. So that's what we want to do, and we're going to continue to do it. And we hope that the Lord lets us do it until we die, or like we said in the video today, till they throw us in jail, or until the Lord comes back for us.
Right. Amen.
That's
my
plan.
We're going to keep
pressing on. Amen. Amen.
Strive and fight.
We're going to leave it right there for today. If the Lord lets us come to you tomorrow, we'll do another edification audio. Go check out that latest preach on that link, and maybe we'll put a video up at the top as well from one of the preach today. Maybe just a short video as a little sampler to what's coming up, the preach from the governor's mansion. Sound good, Sister Amma?
Sure, sounds good to
me. All right. We love you all. Seek after the kingdom of God. Hold fast to that which is true. Avoid all appearance of evil and walk in the light. And then by doing that, we can have fellowship one with another and we can be cleansed from our sins.
Amen. And I need to send love to the saints.
Amen.
And sister hugs. We love you all.
Love you all. God be praised.